Nobody move, nobody talk, everybody settle down. Get your seat, be real still. Ready for the message this morning? A little bit different. Sometimes, boy, I just rant and rave. And as they say, you know, you scream, holler, and preach a house down and stuff like that. Sometimes a little more serious. Sometimes we're more on the light side, depending on where I feel like the meal the Lord would have us to serve. This morning, the message is in the form of a plea from my heart to your heart, and I trust from the heart of the Lord to us this morning. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 13. Well, let's look at verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. The preacher, the prophet here, was preaching these messages to the children of God, Israel, and Judah, who had got away from the Lord. And he said in verse 12, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God." Now stop right there. That sounds easy, but that's the hardest thing you ever try to get people to do, is admit that they've done wrong. We don't like to admit we've done wrong, do we? We say, well, it's hard for us to just come around and say, I've sinned. It's me, it's my fault, I've done wrong, and I need to get right with God. If you'll get to that point right there, you have got half your trouble taken care of. It's hard to get God's people. People say, well, somebody in the church hurt my feelings and they didn't make me welcome and all that. It's hard to get people to just say, hey, I'm backslid. First thing you do when you backslide is you start finding fault with the church and blaming people at church for not being what they ought to be. That's a sure sign you're backslid this morning. Sure sign you're backslid is you start saying, well, people in the church hurt my feelings. What if I quit preaching every time I got my feelings hurt? Or I heard somebody said something about me. You say, well, don't it hurt? Yeah, it hurts. You say, don't it discourage you? Sure it does. Well, why you keep going, preacher? Because they didn't die on the cross for me. The Lord is the one that died for me, and the Lord is the one I'm going to be judged by one day. I'm not going to stand in front of you at the judgment, I hate to tell you. And you're not going to stand in front of me. We're all stand before Him. We better take it serious. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Verse 14, Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. I'll speak to you just a few minutes this morning on the backslider. And I'm talking to you this morning that are saved, but you're backslid. There's no doubt in my mind this morning, there's Christians sitting in this room this morning that are backslid away from God. Backsliding is in different degrees. You can look at yourself and say, well, compared to so-and-so, I'm doing pretty good. We could all do that this morning, couldn't we? But that's not how you judge yourself. Where were you a year ago? Where were you with God 5 years ago? Backsliding simply means exactly what the word means. If I'm starting up these steps and I come up through here like this, I'm getting in church, I'm witnessing, I'm reading my Bible, I'm going visitation, I'm witnessing, I'm doing this, and then I start going back like this. I was here, now I'm back here. I've slid back. Just like you're trying to climb up a hill on ice in the snow, and you get up pretty good, and you slide back down. It's like if you've ever been swimming in the ocean, and the waves at the ocean will move you, and you don't even realize you're moving. Remember when we used to go back when I was a teenager, me and the boys go down there to the beach, and you'd always look. I don't remember that great big motel right there, so I'll know where I'm at. And you just fool around there, and fool around there, and fool around there, and try to ride waves, and swim underwater, and turn flips and stuff, and you look up and say, where's that thing at? And it's way over there somewhere. And what is it? Every time your feet goes off the ground, that wave pushes you a little bit. And every time it goes, that wave pushes you a little bit. Because them waves don't come straight in. They come at an angle. And every time they just pick you up and move you. Pick you up and move you. You don't even realize you're moving. Now, I'm not fussing at you this morning. I thank God for our church. I love everybody in here. And I'm not fussing at you. And you'll know that because I go through the same thing that some of you are going through here this morning. We all go through times when our heart is really on fire for God. We're hot for God. We're excited about the Lord. Nothing in the world means more to us than serving God. And then we go through times when that world pulls on us. And we go through times when we're not that excited about being saved. I'm telling you this morning what we need to do as a church, as young people, mamas and daddies, we need to get more excited about being saved than we are anything else. We quit believing there's a hell somehow or another. Somehow or another, we just forget about hell being there. We cooked out on the 4th of July. That's what we usually do on the 4th of July. I won't get out and go nowhere. There's so many people everywhere. And we cooked out, and I was flipping a piece of meat over on the grill. My hand got near that heat, and boy, you could just feel it on the bottom of my hand like that. And it began to hit me afresh again how people suffer in hell this morning. How thankful we ought to be that we're saved from hell. And we're not going to hell. Somehow or another, that gets old to us. That gets old to us. You want me to show you the symptoms of backsliding? Young people, you listening to me? Mamas and daddies, you listening? Here's the symptoms. You have symptoms of the flu. You have symptoms of a heart attack. You have symptoms of cancer. You have symptoms of kidney disease or whatever. Here are the symptoms of backsliding. Let me ask you some questions. Have you read your Bible every day for the last 30 days? Every single day? Have you been laying your Bible down for a day or two at a time without reading it? That's a sign you're in trouble. Have you prayed daily for the last 30 days? Every day? You say, well, preacher, I'm not talking about having to make yourself. Praying should be something that you naturally do when you're right with God. Have you defended wrong among your friends and family? Do you take up for what's wrong? Do you know something's wrong? And then you catch yourself saying, well, it's not that bad. And, well, I don't see anything wrong with this. Whereas a year ago, you would have said, bless God, I'm not going to do that. I'm never going to do it again. And now you're saying, well, I don't know. Maybe I kind of got excited and overboard, and I thought some of them old movies was bad. You know, really? I mean, we're just watching it. We're not really doing anything wrong. That's a sign that your heart has got cold on God. That's a sign. Let me tell you something, buddy. If something was wrong 5 years ago, it's still wrong this morning. For me, for you, for anybody else. God don't change His mind on what's right and what's wrong. Amen? If it's wrong to show your nakedness in public last year, it's wrong to show it this year. Oh, you ladies heard that, didn't you? Oh, you little bony-legged men, you should never want to show yours. Amen? What we need this morning is some good old hot preaching to keep us in line where we ought to be, because you can get backslid if you don't hear it get busted every now and then. If you don't listen to a preacher just preach hard on sin all the time, first thing you know, you start drifting. Your heart starts getting cold. You start saying, well, I don't listen to that old hard rock stuff, but I just like a little whiny, whiny, whiny. Whiny, whiny, whiny. You just like that. You know what's rotten about country music? I've told you before, and you know it. You know it. Don't you give me that junk. Don't try to defend it. You say, well, so-and-so sung a song with God in it. So what? So what? You can find a diamond ring in a trash can. Amen? Do you get anything out of the preaching? Do you get anything out of the preaching? People say, well, I just come to church anymore and it just don't do nothing for me. And I think, you know why? Something's got you blinded, man. Hey, listen, have you attended every church service in the last 30 days? Let me ask you a question. Do you criticize the preacher, the church, to other people? Do you see more negative than positive about your church? Some of you parents here this morning, when we first last year, when revival had hit, when young people were on fire, I got up and I said, we're going to start a school. It broke out into shouting and applause. Woo! Glory to God! You shouted a lot! Till you got your bill and you had to pay a little bit for books. your kids not worth $150 to you? You say, well, I can't afford it. I mean, I'm sorry. I wish everybody could, and I hope everybody can. But listen, brother, where is our heart? You can take a person's checkbook and see where they write their checks, and that'll show you where their heart is. Your kids ain't worth $150, but cable TV is, ain't it? It's worth some of you pay $450 a year. You can afford that! You can afford going to play a game that you like. You can afford that extra car or that extra, but somehow, you know how you know you're backsliding? Because you gripe about everything in the world that you have to do for God, but then you're free with everything else and the things of this world. That's how you know you're backslid. Are you thrilled during invitation time when somebody comes? Or do you sit there saying, how many more verses of this are we going to sing? Are you saying, God, for somebody in here, save them, God. Do a work in their heart. Surely I can stand here for 5 minutes and sing just as I am. Or are you snapping pocketbooks and putting coats on young'uns and doing everything and sneaking out like this during the invitation? Boy, that's the part of the service. Now, I knew this would happen. You're looking at me like I'm fussing at you. I'm not fussing at you. You just think I am. Amen. I've got to preach to you like this. You've got to. I mean, we've got to have somebody to stand up and say, hey, we're drifting over here. Let's get back over here in the middle of the road on the line where we ought to be. Which would bother you most? I'm talking to me, buddy. I'm flesh too. Which would upset you the most? A lost person walking out of here on Sunday morning and not getting saved, or coming out and finding a little scratch about that long on your car? See how messed up we get? I've done that. I'm going to another church. I tell you, these little brats they got around here would tear up an anvil. I ain't never coming back to this place again. Somebody can walk out being not without being saved, and you say, my goodness, why do we have to preach so long anyway? You know, that's the way you know you're backslidden. Do you leave during the invitation? That's a bad sign. You been on visitation lately? That's a bad sign. You know what the book said? Tarry you in Jerusalem, do you be endued with power from on high? When the Holy Ghost comes on a person, they're going to want a witness. Care what you say, I don't care how many flips you turn. The book says you shall be witnesses. Amen. Here's you one. Is there anyone in the whole world that if they showed up today would ruin your day? Somebody you just hate. That's a symptom. Turn to Psalm 106 just for a minute. Psalm 106, and let me show you some people who backslid and got away from God, and look what happened to them. Psalm 106. There's seven phases of backsliding here in Psalm 106, beginning with verse number 13. And what messed these people up is, number one, they forgot who really helped them. Look at verse 13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Then it said they done without God's counsel. They quit listening to the Lord. They quit doing what the Lord said. They started going their own way. Some of you sitting in here this morning, you're full of sin, you're full of lust and full of all kinds of things, and you're saying, well, Brother Danny, I'm trapped. I can't get out of it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. There's power in the blood. The blood has never lost its power. But look at verse 14. It said, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Hold your finger there just a second. Hold your finger. They lusted. Lust don't always mean sexual lust. It can mean for material things, for money, for anything. They just wanted this, wanted that, wanted this, wanted that. You know that you're getting backslid when nothing ever satisfies you. You want this, you want that. Your house isn't nice enough, you want another house. Your car ain't good enough, you want another car. Your clothes aren't nice enough, you want more clothes. Nothing wrong with having nice clothes, nice house. There's nothing wrong with that. Brother, I tell you, some people, that's all they think about is more this, more that, more money, more. You've got to get your satisfaction from God. You've got to let the Lord. Listen, you can get out of your seat this morning and totally get your life right with God Almighty here this morning, and it don't matter what kind of car you got sitting out there, you can leave here a happy, satisfied individual. And I want to tell you something else. If you're full of sin this morning, I don't care what you've got sitting out there, you're not going to be satisfied.
Right.
Not going to do it. You want me to prove it? I'll prove it to you. Look at this verse. Verse 15 said he gave them their request. God will let you have about what you want, but sent leanness to their soul. You say, but God, I want this, I want that. The Lord will finally say, okay, go on. But boy, do you ever pay for it.
Amen.
I can see people in here this morning as I look across this congregation, used to sing in the choir, used to smile, used to have a testimony, used to be excited about God, and the only reason you're even here this morning is because you felt obligated to come because it's Sunday. And that breaks my heart. I hate to see you live your life like that. I hate to see the devil cheat you out of enjoying the things of God. Boy, we had a shouting service up here Sunday night. Man, people was enjoying it, shouting, having a good time. Sure, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. You think the devil don't fight me? Sure he does. I've been hit just about every way you can be hit. And you know what you got to do? You just got to let it go and keep your eyes on the Lord and serve God and not cry about what happened to you last year and keep on going. Look here, what else? Verse 15, he gave them leanness to their soul. Verse 16, they blamed the preacher. They envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. I know a lot of churches where when people get backslid, the first thing they want to do is run the preacher off. Happens all the time. Then notice the end of this. Notice the end of it. Nobody ever heard tell from them again. The earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. You know what? You never heard tell them people again. And I'm here to say to you this morning, McDowell County's filled with hundreds of people that are saved and used to be on fire for God, and the world out there has just swallowed them up. And you never hear from them again. I thought about a boy. I believe it was yesterday, the day before. I saw a girl going up the street, and it reminded me of his wife. And I thought, well, I wonder what ever happened to so-and-so. He used to come up there when he was in the old building. He used to preach. When we first started church, many of you know him if I called his name. And he used to preach. And I hadn't thought of him in a long time. And I thought, I remember him getting up there just a hammering and slinging his fist and just preaching as hard as he could. Last I heard, he don't even go to church at all, living a wicked life in sin. Never heard tell from him again. No good for the kingdom of God. One day when he stands before the judgment seat of Christ, his whole life will go up in smoke. He won't have no crowns to lay at the feet of Jesus. Isn't it silly to suffer forever and ever and lose rewards just because you wanted to have a little fun down here for 15, 20, maybe 30 years at the most? It's not worth it, friend. God's got something better for you. God's got something better for you. You say, well, preacher, this sin's got a hold of me and I can't get loose. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can get loose. You pray about it. You fast about it. Hey, there ain't no sin that anybody in here has got in their life that you can't get the victory over. You pray about it 1 hour. Just 1 hour. Have you prayed about it 1 hour? Solid? Without stopping? And beg God to help you. 1 hour! 1 hour! That ain't too much to change the destiny of your life. That's not too much to make the power of God in your home and bless your kids. That's not asking too much. They got what they wanted, but they never heard tell from them again. I heard about a man. A preacher went and talked to him during a revival meeting, and they was trying to get this man to get saved or get right. And the man said, I don't want to hear it. I'm making a living. I'm busy. I'm doing fine. And he finally got hateful with him. Said, I don't want to hear it. Get away from me. And the guy was trying to talk to him, tell him to get right. And the next Monday, which was a few days later, that guy was up on a big, working off a hayloft and fell, hit on the side of his face and killed him just like that. God took his life out of this world. The book still says, it still says, he that being often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. You know what? You're flirting with a tombstone. You're flirting with a tombstone. If you're here this morning and you say, well, I don't have to do right. I'm going to do what I want to. I don't care what Brother Danny says. I don't care what the Bible says. You're messing up, buddy. You are messing up. You cannot go against God's word and come out right. Impossible. It's impossible. I'm telling you, people, it's impossible. I beg you this morning. I plead with you. I'm pleading with you this morning. Get your life right with God before something terrible comes your way. Get your life right with God before your marriage breaks up. Get your life right with God before your children rebel. Get your life right with God before it causes tragedy in the home. You'll be sorry one day. You'll be sorry. You better get it in here. You better get it in here. When they had that great flood, the famous Johnstown flood in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, May 1st, 1889. 8,000 people in town. There's a dam up above the city, 12 miles above it. Built 37 years ago, before that, over the Pennsylvania Canal. A man on horseback come riding through the valley warning, shouting to the people to hurry and leave. They laughed at him. 37 years the dam held. It broke. 20 feet of water rushed down upon that town at over 20 miles an hour. A 20-foot tidal wave hit that town, and within an hour, the whole city was almost gone. 7 other towns. Between 2,000 and 3,000 people died, and they had all been warned. But they just kept saying, "We're having fun. I don't wanna get. I'll wait one more Sunday. Man, I'm having a good time. We're enjoying the 4th of July. We're partying a little bit. We've been sneaking around. You've been sipping on some wine or messing around with some pornography, or you've been doing something wrong. You think, man, I'm enjoying this. I'm gonna have." They waited 1 week too late, buddy, and just got swept away. Then nobody never heard tell from them again. You can't get away from God that easy, my friend. If you're here this morning and you're saved, all we can, it's been on my heart. If you're saved and you ain't been doing right on purpose, I beg you this morning, get it right. Backslider. You see, God's got somebody out there waiting on you. When Peter went in and denied the Lord, and he cussed, said he didn't even know who Jesus was. He walked out, and there stood Jesus looking right face to face. You're going to face Jesus face to face someday, sometime, someplace. You're going to have to deal with this thing. You're going to have to deal with it. I'd a whole lot rather get it took care of this morning under the blood than I had to face it one day and in shame at the judgment seat of Christ. A great man, songwriter one time, wrote one of the most famous hymns in the history of the church, "Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings." The man, you know that song, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Dun, 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 dun. And he backslid and got away from God. He's running from God and sat down on a train. He thought he got away from his church, got away from his preacher, got away from the Bible, got away from God. And he sat down on a train, and there's a lady beside him, and on that course of that flight, she opened up a book and she said, "Have you ever heard this song? It's the prettiest song," and she began to sing it, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Boy, it's just like a knife stuck in his heart, and he said, "I wrote it." "You wrote it?" "That's right, I wrote it." And he rededicated his life and got right with God right there. He knew that God had caught up with him. He'll catch up with you too. You know why? Because he loves you. He loves you enough to keep you from letting you destroy yourself. He loves you. God bless you this morning, young people. Let me talk to our teenagers just a second. I think you're the greatest, really. I brag on you everywhere I go. I've never seen a group of young people that got on fire any better than what our teenagers have in the last year. But it's not impossible for you to lose it. I'm not talking about your salvation. Lose the joy. Lose the fire. You've got to stay close to God. You've got to pray. There's about 20-something up here praying last night. And that's wonderful. Some of you you're about to lose your fire. You're about to lose your zeal. Wear this altar out if that's what it takes. Stay where you ought to be with God. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. We have the Parker family. Sing that song in just a minute. "Touch Me Again, Lord." Touch me again, Lord. You've been out doing something you ain't supposed to do, hanging around the wrong crowd. You say, well, Brother Danny, I can flirt around with the world a little bit. Won't hurt me. You're wrong, buddy. You're wrong. It'll smut you every time. Every time it'll smut you. It'll get you dirty every time. You won't realize how bad a shape you're in till one day tragedy hits. God's dealing with your heart this morning. God's dealing with your heart. Remember when you could cry so easy? Raise your hand, praise God. Remember that? What's happened? What's happened? What's happened? You might want to just come and say, Lord, soften my heart again so I can shed some tears. Hey, it wouldn't hurt if we had 200 people in this altar this morning. That's right. Amen. Amen. I mean it. I needed you. I'm going to get down here and pray this morning. I'm going to say, oh God, keep my heart warm towards you. Dear Lord, do something for us this morning. Put us back where we ought to be as a church, as individuals. Touch us again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, come on. Come on right now. Heaven, come on right now. You need a touch. Backslider. Bible said the backslider heart shall be filled with his own ways. Amen. Come on this morning. Come on, rededicate that life to Jesus. Get down here this morning and say, God, I want to be right with you. I want to be close to you. Amen. Sing it, folks. While they sing, you come right now. Come right now.